Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
And in case you weren't in church last week and didn't get the message, Melissa and Alan are getting married this coming Friday. We're excited about that. And there's a table back in the fellowship hall where we're doing MOLs, messages of love. So if you have a comment you want to put down for them, we're collecting those so we can collectively give them to them at the magical day, the wonderful day, which is coming up so quickly. So we're excited. And I feel totally out of it on stage here because I'm the only one wearing shoes. You know, everybody's barefoot. No, I kind of like them. I'm partial to my cowboy boots. So, you know, if we could provide a template that would give us everything we needed to live successful lives, we'd want that, wouldn't we? That would be good. If we could have something that would provide for us in terms of how to practice so that we could get abundance, we'll have good relationships, success in our home life, in our work life, of course we'd want that. Well, you know, there is in the Old Testament a wonderful 7-verse passage from 2 Kings that lays this out, okay? And I want to talk about it. I'll read the passage first, and then we'll kind of unpack it because it's so powerful. It truly works in our lives. And I want to share something that happened at 9:30 because it seemed like it was, well, where's this going? But it fitted completely into this whole template, and it was beautiful to see it unfold. So I'll share that also. But it's from 2 Kings. This is chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Not long. It's not a long passage, and yet there's so much packed into it, right? And we'll unpack it. It starts like this. It says, "The wife of one of the prophets appealed to Elisha. 'My husband, your servant, has died,' she said, 'and you know that he was a man who feared the Lord. Now a creditor has come to take away my two boys as slaves.' Elisha asked her, 'How can I help you? Tell me what you have in the house.' 'Nothing at all,' she answered, 'except a flask of oil.' 'Go out,' he said, 'and borrow vessels from everyone in the neighborhood. Get as many empty ones as you can. When you come home, shut yourself in with your sons, then pour from your flask into all the vessels, and as they are filled, set them aside.' She left him and shut herself indoors with her sons. As they brought her the vessels, she filled them. When they were all full, she said to one of her sons, 'Bring me another.' 'There are none left,' he replied. Then the flow of oil ceased. She came out and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay off your debt, and you and your sons can live on what is left.'" Now, we could say, well, that's lovely. It's a lovely miracle, you know. There's lots of miracles in the Bible, but they have no practical application to our lives, right? They're nice, and I'm glad that Jesus and the prophets were able to do these things, but how does that make any sense to me, right? But that's the sort of literal meaning of it. It's a nice story about God's power, but it's not really applicable. But, you know, as we look at it metaphysically, we see that it is totally applicable. This is the way to have success in our lives, right? To have the increase of all good in our lives, and we can put it into practical effect. So I want to take it bit by bit. And it didn't happen to a prophet or a widow thousands of years ago. When does it happen? It happens now for us, right? So it's a template for our digestion, ingestion into our consciousness here and now. So first of all, she'd lost her husband. And back in the day, if you lost your husband, especially in the Old Testament times, that was tough because he was the one that provided for you. So that was bad. And then also there was some kind of debt, obviously, because the sons were going to be taken. And in those days, that's what they did. They took the sons into slavery, right, to pay off the debt. So we could say she was experiencing, she lost her husband as well. She was a widow as well. So she was having a hard time, wasn't she? Like we all experience in our lives, things aren't working out quite the way we thought. We were doing all right, and all of a sudden we're overwhelmed, yeah? Has anybody ever been there? Think so, right? Adverse circumstances happen, right? We don't have to be a widow or a widower. We can just be us. Things happen. So it's a hard time. Spirit always speaks to us, though. You know, even in those hard times, Spirit is trying to nudge us. And where is Spirit, by the way? Inside us, right? The inner knowledge of the truth. The truth is the cure, right? I love that phrase because it's so true. But when we're in hard times, what? We don't usually listen very well to the inner Spirit. Even when the inner Spirit is saying, how can I help? Isn't that beautiful? That's the thing that the Spirit is always saying to us. Doesn't matter when or where. Spirit within us is always saying, how can I help? How can I take the burden off from you? And what we usually say is, bug off. I'm doing quite well on my own. Don't bother me. I don't trust you. Oh, my God, I haven't got time for this. You know, my mind is filled with all the worries and difficulties. I don't have time for Spirit right now. Which is more fool us, right? Because we're putting off our good. But look what Spirit says in the form of the prophet. He says, he follows it up. How can I help? What do you have in the house? What do you have in the house? Well, your house is your consciousness, isn't it? So what is he asking? What's Spirit asking? What good can you see right now, right? What good can you see? It's like when somebody suggests when you're feeling resentful, create a gratitude list. And what do you say? I've got nothing to be grateful for. Well, she said the exact thing. He says, what have you in the house? Nothing. Nothing at all. She couldn't see the good. That's where we are, right? When these things happen to us, I can't see anything good right now. But then there was an inkling, oh, well, I do have a flask of oil for what that's worth. That's all that was left to her. But see, the flask of oil represents the seed of the new, right? The seed of something possible. She was able to conceive of having something, right? And that's all that it takes, because a seed is an amazing thing, isn't it? If a seed is planted, right, and it grows into a bush, and that bush produces flowers and seeds, how many seeds does it produce? Thousands. From one seed, thousands. This is the way God works, right? This is the law of increase, the law of abundant good. So when you have a flask of oil, that is your seed. Now, a flask of oil can be a million things, right? But it can be that which you perceive as good, even in this bad circumstance. There's something good. And that is what you need to impel you forward. I would say there is always something good, isn't there? Even in the worst circumstance, yeah? And that's what we are asked to look for, right? It doesn't seem like it sometimes, and we don't really think that it's much worth. You know, stupid little jar of oil, that's all I got left in the cupboard, you know? Not much left for me right now. Now, here comes the key element. The prophet invites her to collect empty vessels from her neighbors. Well, we got a bunch of empty vessels right here. Here they are. See, they've been collected from her, and they're beautiful, aren't they? Now, the empty vessel, I think, is the key of this story, because if we understand what the empty vessel represents, we're going to understand how to make it manifest, okay? So what could the empty vessel mean? And why neighbors? What's all that about? What? We need each other. We're in community, right? We can't do it alone. Ask for help. Receive something that the neighbors are willing to give, empty vessels. They're not going to give full vessels, but they'll give the empty vessels, right? And empty vessels have power too, don't they? Because you can't fill a full vessel. You can only fill an empty vessel. Empty vessels make most noise, is what my mother used to tell me. But that's true. With the beautiful music that comes from these bowls in a skilled hand is because of its resonance, which is because of its emptiness, its openness. There's an opening, isn't there? That's another meaning for the empty vessels. I'm creating an opening in my life. I don't know what it's going to be filled with yet. It's empty, but I know it's possible. There's possibility here. Here's my vessels. Letting the goodness come in. Anything else from the empty vessel image, though, before we move on? Potential. Yes, it's a potential for new good to flow. Opportunity. Hope. So you collect your vessels, right? You collect your openings. What are the openings that you have in your life? For instance, take Elizabeth Gilbert. Anybody read her book, Eat, Pray, Love? It's become a huge bestseller. She sold like millions and millions of copies. She's become a very rich woman. She was turned down, I think, over 150 times by different publishers who said the book was never going to be a success. Don't bother. But she kept pouring her oil. She kept pouring her good, which was the book, the manuscript, out into those empty vessels. And eventually somebody said, I like this. Let's publish it. And of course, the rest is history, right? But there's an example. We don't know. We've got to keep pouring into those empty vessels, even if it doesn't, bless you, it doesn't seem like it's going to yield its reward, right? You've got to keep giving. Because that's the key here, isn't it? They are linked together. Giving and receiving are all part of the flow. As I give, I receive, right? It's as simple as that. Whether it be money, or whether it be a smile, or whether it be a willingness to meet somebody face to face and talk with them, yeah, there will be a reciprocal flow. It happens in business, it happens in spirituality, anywhere you want to go. So you collect your bowls of possibility, right? You keep doing what is opening and expansive in your life. And then he says, okay, now shut yourself in, right? So what's that mean? Now shut yourself in. Now turn within to your own inner resource, right? The truth is the cure. Not the outer. Go in, go within, right? And do the work within. There's a lot of practical steps here, right? First of all, finding that which you still think is good in your life in the midst of the hard times. That's the flask of oil. Then collecting bowls of possibility. You don't know where it's going, but you're going to collect them. And you're seeking help from neighbors. And then you go within, and he says, start pouring the oil from the flask. Well, as long as she kept pouring it, the oil kept filling the bowls, right? Now, it sounds like a miracle, doesn't it? But it's not. It's the way God works. Like I said, one seed yields thousands of seeds, right? As long as your good is flowing, it will keep flowing, right? And she filled every single one of these until she said, bring some more. There were no more. Immediately there was no more. The oil stopped. We had pushed it to the max, right, of what we could consider to be what I'm worthy to receive. And once I'd reached the max, then the oil stops. We've talked about this before. If I offer up a thimble, God will fill a thimble. If I offer up a cup, God will fill the cup. If I offer up a bathtub, God will fill the bathtub. Whoa! An ocean, you name it. So, you know, where can you extend to? You know, how big is your empty bowl? Right? That's the message, isn't it? There's no difference, as we said a couple of weeks ago, between a person who's successful and a failure, except the successful ones have gone through the failure and kept going, right? Kept standing up and doing the work and living from that possibility thinking. Okay, so now she's got a bunch of bowls filled with oil, and the prophet says, sell them, pay off your debt, and the rest you can live on. Problem solved. And it happened not as a miracle. This is the way it happens in everybody's life. When we remember the seed of good, right, and possibility, and we then pour it out into fields of opportunity, bowls of possibility. And I love the fact that Resume and Paradisa are with us because it fits in so well with the imagery of bowls, number one. But also, you know, like we said, it's with skilled hands, you can take these and make beautiful sounds. And I think that's true in life in general, you know. Hey, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. The world is a mess. The world is full of horrible people. The world is a total yuck. And it's full of ugly, stupid people. And yet also the world is a miracle. It's full of joy and wonder and possibility, yes? It's both and it all depends upon what I'm seeing on any particular day, you know? If I'm looking for it being terrible, it's going to show up not so good, because there's plenty in God's universe. There's infinite possibility here. But if we choose to see the good, you know, if we choose to see the oil of joy is in me, and I'm letting it flow, then our world becomes a wonderful place no matter what. And that's the way we create our reality here. So we're in charge of that. We're in charge of creating our own possibility, our own destiny, if you like. Let me tell you about 9:30. Judd Bowman, wonderful member of our church, has recently moved from his home into an apartment, and his home was invaded while he wasn't there, totally destroyed. They destroyed everything, and he ripped up everything. It was a total mess, and he was very upset, and he stood up and said, please support me today in that. And we offered a prayer up for him, but obviously he was filled with all the difficulty of it, you know, and that's the tough bit, isn't it? That's the hard times, folks. And it was like as if, wow, we're living this. This isn't just a nice biblical example. This is an opportunity right here. So we said, no, good is flowing. There's a jar of oil here. And he called out for someone to photograph everything because he said, I don't want you to think I'm just making this up. Well, I wouldn't do that, but he wanted a photo essay so he could send it to the insurance. So immediately after the service, Shannon Sturgis, one of our great photographers here at the church, offered to take all the photos necessary. And I said to him, see, the oil is flowing, right? And Sharon is the most beautiful empty vessel I've ever seen. Because she's an empty vessel there, ready to be filled, right? And the flow was happening. And other people gathered around him. This is how it works, folks. But he asked for it. You know, how can I help was what was deep in there. How can we help? How can Spirit be there for him at this time? It was tough, though, having somebody just stand up there and say that, because, wait a minute, how do we approach this, you know? But that's real life, isn't it? This message is not nice on Sunday and no good anywhere else, right? This stuff works in our everyday lives if we put it into practice. And he asked. Yeah, he asked for help. That's the first step, isn't it? And then it was moving beyond the anger at those people and the pride of not asking, all the blocks that come. See, there's the humility of pouring it out into the empty vessel. And there's another meaning of empty vessel. I have to make myself empty, don't I, if I am to be filled? What did Jesus say? I of myself could do nothing. It's the Father flowing through me, the Father in me, moving in me that does the work. Right? And that's why it's so powerful. The truth is the cure. The truth within me that I allow to expand and to overflow in abundance to bring me my good. So if you're going to remember one thing from this message today, what is it? What one thing can you practically, effectively put into activity in your life this week? What would it be?
Never get down and stay there.
All right. You can get down, but don't stay there, right? I mean, you've been through a tough time this week, Hal, but you know you've come through, right? You're starting to pour your oil again. Everybody came through. Amen. There we go. Excellent. Good example. What's that? Find the light in the storm, because your oil, your flask of oil, is whatever you make it to be. It's whatever you feel is valuable in your life right now, right? That's the thing to focus on and to let it flow, because it will create amazing things. Some people have created huge companies because they had that seed idea. They let it flow into the empty vessels, and it resulted in abundant good for them, right? Elizabeth Gilbert did it because she kept on keeping on with her manuscript. And now she's very successful and well-known to many, and she's on Oprah, too. The ultimate. The ultimate.
There's a possibility in adversity.
And as Graham said at the end of the first service, he said, we got to bless the scallywags as well. So that's a good thing too, isn't it? The pouring of the oil is the blessing of the scallywags. We could call them some other names too. You know, all those people and events and circumstances in and out that get in our way, bless the scallywags. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.